Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Bring your team. Teenagers with attitude, clad in tightly colored costumes, book and star. I ship them to all the gold dogs. How at them
move. Rangers, I'm cultural here today. Listen to this awesome podcast right now.
Everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters or pigs or pig monsters, but not really a monster. Anyway, I guess we'll talk about that when we get to it. This week, I'm Zach, and I'm joined by Joel.
I am Joel every week.
Yeah, I'm Zach again this week. I wasn't last week, but that's another story. We've got Luke.
Yeah, you did.
We've got Matt.
My name is Matt. That's me.
And we have our friend Molly back.
It's me, your friend Molly.
Hooray! So, we haven't had you on in a while, and I'm excited. And I want everyone to know that you are on the West Coast, and we record in the morning, which means that you woke up at like 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's because I was like, hey, Molly, do you want to be on this episode? It's about Balkan Skull adopting a baby pig. And you were like,
no.
You were like, well, then yes.
I would have said yes either way because I've been like itching to get back on this show. And it just turns out that I'm very into Balkan Skull adopting. That's half my notes today.
It's really adorable, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, this episode has my favorite Balkan Skull moment, and it's not directly related to the pig.
I have a Balkan Skull note written down here. It says, Balkan Skull's life is pain.
Well, that is also true, yeah. We try to ignore that part when we are excited about Balkan Skull, but we'll get to that too, I'm sure. So this week, before we get into that, we have a little bit of Morpha Newsnamal. Last week we talked about, the main, a costume for Rita Repulsa. Or I guess I'm assuming
it's
the main one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I kind of hope it's the main costume.
It looks better.
It's the one that's on the, that they put on the People cover. I think it was People, magazine cover. So I'm going
to
assume.
That's a weird place for that to be, but.
Was it not?
Yeah,
People?
Rita isn't even People.
This year's most beautiful woman, Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but that was the one that was on the magazine cover reveal. There is another one that came out. And, let's see, YVR Shoots, which is a website that, I guess they go to movie shootings and just try to take pictures, which is creepy. And I feel kind of bad about like using their stuff, but
I mean,
whatever. they have some pictures that they put up, of a different costume for Rita, which is like, I don't really. So, okay. Follow up to last week. We talked last week about how we weren't sure if the Rita Repulsa costume was sexualized because we hadn't seen the bottom. since, and we were kind of worried that it would be like a Psylocke, like swimsuit bottom with high heels or something. Yeah. They have since posted full body pictures and it's not that. It's definitely. I'll link them to you.
Yeah, I think I just saw the ones that were, that was Entertainment Weekly, I think, that did that originally, right?
Yeah, let me find them and I'll send them over to you while I try to talk and also navigate the internet at the same time.
Yeah, but, you're great at that.
but the thing that was cool about that stuff is it turned out, no, it's boots and, you know, it looks pretty good. I like the costume. This one I'm not sure about because well, first of all, the shirt is not a shirt. Like,
it's just a series of boards.
Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna be blunt here. I think this costume looks like fucking ass.
It's not very good.
Well, I saw a comment on it shortly after the pictures surfaced where somebody said, yeah, that looks like she just came out of a dumpster. So,
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. It does look like she came out of a space dumpster, so at least you've got that going for it.
I can easily see that just being like what she wears when she first shows up, and then she's like, get me my sexy green armor.
The green armor looks like it's definitely her fight outfit.
Yeah, because it looks battle damaged in all like the pictures I've seen of it.
I sent that over to you guys, the full picture.
Yeah.
So this one, the top is like just rope, basically, like pieces of rope.
Yeah.
Across her chest. And someone in the Facebook group, I think James was his name, posted, hey, I don't, you know, like, maybe I'm misunderstanding this costume, but where are Elizabeth Banks' boobs? And I was going to be like, don't be gross. And then I look at the picture and I actually, that's a good question. I don't know what's going on in this image.
It's confusing.
It looks like she's wearing, like, flesh-colored clothing under it, which to me, combined with the other costume having similar pieces where her like, exposed skin, quote-unquote, would be.
Yeah.
I think that means that there's gonna be some CGI work done.
Put some CGI boobs on her.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's not where I was going with that. But I think maybe we might not actually know what she's gonna look like in the final film because it seems like they might be doing some after work to it.
That armor's only green because it's green screen.
Oh god. Oh god, I hope not.
I would kind of love that.
So, now I'm imagining, like a shitty green screen with Tommy, and it's just like a floating shield and visor, and he's just like dancing around.
Where'd the Green Ranger go?
the bottom is basically just like it's like a torn black skirt. It definitely doesn't look so. A, it doesn't look like the old costume, obviously, either. The TV show.
I mean, it's closer than the green one.
Yeah, it does look more witchy than the green one.
It looks like Morrigan from Dragon Age.
She's got kind of a swamp witch vibe.
Oh
going
man,
on.
I thought you were gonna say Morrigan from Darkstalkers, and I was like, what?
No, not that.
That's a fighty game, right?
That's a fight.
She's a sexy vampire lady.
She's a sexy succubus that also has a missile launcher and a jetpack for some fucking reason.
I know Morgan.
I like how he said that and you were like, oh, wait, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know that one.
I gotcha. But yeah, you're right. It has like a swamp witch kind of vibe. I don't like it very much, though, mostly because it's like
dumb
Rita,
looking.
It's dumb, but it's also just really plain. Yeah. And like Rita's very ornate and over the top. Like that's her whole thing. So if this is her like very start of the movie costume, where like this is what she was like trapped in, and then she gets you know, the green costume or like something more like queen-ish later on, then that's probably fine. I still don't like this costume very much. Anyway, the other thing, if you'll take another look at that tweet I sent, the last picture in that sequence, you guys see that?
Is it the six?
Yeah, what the hell do you think those are?
It looks like, so I was looking at it, it looks like five Morphe ring somethings, because they're all the right colors, except one of them is colorless.
Yeah.
It's gray, so I'm wondering if that means, like, it's the powered down green one, because Zordon doesn't have the Green Ranger's power.
That would be a cool, like foreshadowing thing. That said, yeah. I don't know what these are. Like, do you think these are the... They don't look like weapons.
They kind of look like heavily stylized shoots from a snowblower.
There's some...
So clearly there's going to be a big plot line where there's a blizzard in Angel Grove and the Rangers have to move snow.
With their power blowers.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, what we're talking about, I'll put it in the Twitter, but it's these six, like, the five Ranger colors and then a white or gray one, I guess. Snow blower shoots. I don't know how to describe them. They look really weird.
So one thing I do really appreciate about this picture, though, is I'm pretty sure this is going to give us a good idea of how the colors are going to look in this, because they mentioned it wasn't going to be as bright, and I was worried about what that meant, but if this is what they meant, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's not too dark.
They're fine. The blue and red specifically are kind of washed out a little bit, but...
Right, but they have a metallic...
Really like those.
They have a kind of metallic-y sheen that I like. It looks like car paint, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks neat. I'm okay with those colors.
See, I was gonna say, I'm kind of not. They're not very tight to me.
Well, they're not tightly colored.
No, you're not wrong.
But the only reason I'm bringing it up...
Maybe the suits are still gonna be sort of cloth-like, and they'll be a little brighter, because...
I mean, maybe... This looks more metal. Like, they're all very dull, darker versions of all the colors, and it's the kind of thing you see a lot in these kind of movies where they're, like, embarrassed of the source material, so they try and make it seem less goofy, and it's fucking Power Rangers, man.
Make them bright pinks
and yellows.
It's definitely duller than, like, in the show, but I don't think... It's not like Zack Snyder Superman washed out or anything, I don't think.
I will agree with you that they may not match the worst possible example of the thing I'm talking about.
Yes, that's true.
So I would really like to see the actual costumes have some brighter accents. Like, make that the base, but then have like a bright yellow, bright red or whatever, you know, etching or something.
So we'll see. The reason I'm bringing this shot up is because I sat there staring at this and I was like, well, they don't look like weapons.
Yeah.
They don't look like morphers. They don't really look odd. like I don't know what the hell they are.
And they're like, they're like a couple, cause they're rings. Maybe they're not rings.
It's hard to tell from the angle that we have.
Yeah, but they're like as big as those people next to it. Like, it's probably higher than their knee.
Yeah. Like, they're not.
So they're not small things.
Right.
Those are their Power Rangers shotguns.
Okay. Yeah. I guess
they could be guns, like with the barrel stuck in whatever they're mounted.
Yeah, the barrel is pointing down there. Yeah.
Okay.
Implying that like the Power Rangers are going to try and like gut Rita with a Power Ranger side by side?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do have guns. They just don't use them very often in the show.
No, but somebody said Zack Snyder earlier, and now I'm just imagining gritty Power Rangers where Rita gets really gut worried. Shot, and there's like a 5-minute long scene of her bleeding into her own lungs and dying.
I don't like that.
No,
I don't like that either.
I think I have, even if it is darker than I want, I have a really hard time believing that they'll go that far with it.
Yeah, I don't think they will either, or at least, Christ, I hope they don't, but just like you said that, now I just kind of fear the worst. Probably just Batman v Superman being fucking terrible.
Okay, we cannot talk about Superman anymore.
That's when you're wrong.
But yeah, so I'm continuing to be interested. I don't know what those are. I'll post that in the Facebook and on the Twitter. If you have an idea, you should tell me what you think it is, because I would love to fucking know what your guess is.
Yeah.
One last thing to say about these pictures. We get a couple really good looks at Rita's new staff, and that thing's pretty awesome.
Okay, so this we can't really do anything with right this second. But Chris on Twitter, who I think is a friend of Molly's, Fort yes. Max.
Yeah.
Just sent me the unedited ZU2 footage.
Yeah, she was just asking me about that, if you guys had that.
Super no. We literally were talking about, like, this is somewhere out there, and I didn't know if it existed in a watchable form.
Listen, so, if it has something to do with Toku, Chris will find it.
Stay tuned for that, because I'm totally watching this later. anyway, so yeah, let's move on to the episode.
The last thing I was gonna say real quick about the weird thingies is that, I think they're gonna unfold into motorcycles.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Like, it looks like the hubcap to, like, the front, or not the hubcap, but, like, the rim to a motorcycle.
The wheel cover? The, yeah, like, front wheel, cover?
Yeah. There you go.
It looks more like that than anything else that we said.
So I'm imagining that, like, an energy motorcycle grows out of it.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I'll be okay
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Because they have the motorcycles.
Yeah.
So it's, like, something made out of, like, hard light?
A kinda,
cycle of some sort?
Interesting.
They totally do have motorcycles later. They don't.
Maybe they go into some sort of grid to drive them.
Okay. Now you're doing it. What are you doing?
Look. If I can reference Tron, sure, I'll buy into anything.
Okay. So that's your weakness.
He found a reference I won't smack him for.
Oh, gotcha. I see. All right. Well, let's move on to the episode. This is, episode 42, A Pig Surprise.
Well, it's not a surprise now. You just gave it away.
Have we ever talked about the fact that, I mean, we don't review Zyuranger here, but, like, Japanese episode title names are always, like, explicitly what is about to happen in the television show that you're about to watch.
There seems to be a format for it where it's like a descriptive word or phrase followed by the exact definition of what's in the episode.
That is very common. Yeah. It'll be like, surprise,
Pudgy
Koldar is actually evil or something. Yeah. You're like, what?
I mean, that does happen, but it's not as ubiquitous as people joke about it being.
No. It's not like every time always, but it is pretty common.
There are a few where it's like, yeah, that is exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And I do, honestly, Power Rangers actually kind of does that, except that it's usually, not as fun to read. Their titles are not very good most of the time. Occasionally they'll nail one. I like a pig surprise. It's dumb, but we'll see why it's called that in just a second. So we open on, I guess the Rangers are like charity staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like
obviously another
workers.
Thing Trini drug them into. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I do like, you know, I think, I'm sure people have pointed this out before in other places, but the amount of free time that the Rangers seem to have to be superheroes, to teach classes at the juice bar, to be working staff at charities, to, like, just hang out at the juice bar, like, right. Man.
Yeah, they don't do much.
I guess you don't have, like, a lot of homework, which makes sense, granted, with the school they go to.
Well, I think they probably have a ton of homework. We've already established that everyone but Billy and Trini are failing.
Oh, you just think they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've got attitude. Teens with attitude do not do homework.
It's true. I basically just played video games after school every day. Like, if I didn't do that, I'd have had all sorts of time to hang out at juice bars and teach karate classes and...
I'm trying to
run
remember.
Petting zoos.
I think for me, I had, I was in marching band in high school, and that was like 2 hours of practice, and then I went home and I did homework, and then it was like 8 o'clock.
Oh, I never did homework.
Yeah, well in middle school, I gave up on doing homework. But I usually like you, so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a combination of teachers not caring if I did the homework, and just doing it during class when they were trying to teach everyone else how to do it.
Right. Yeah, that too.
What's their teacher gonna say? Oh, sorry, Miss Appleby, we didn't get to that important question mark homework because we were volunteering to give animals a home so they wouldn't be gassed.
Yeah, that's true. Like, well, I'm
like,
sorry.
Their GPA is garbage, but they're going to have so many extracurricular activities to put on their college applications.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to be very appealing.
GPA
on that
doesn't
front.
Matter. They just need to ace the SATs.
Yeah, and, you know, they'll all take it individually, and Billy will just, like, use some device to cheat for them, so they'll all be fine and they'll get in. But yeah, so we open on the Rangers are working charity for like an adoption day for pets with no homes, and the very first shot is Jason holding a bunny, which is something I never knew that I wanted, but
I was really worried when he picked up that bunny. It didn't look it looked a little rough.
Yeah, well, the bunny did not look like it was very excited. No,
no, it is not excited. That bunny probably took six takes of him taking that bunny out of the cage. Sad bunny.
I wonder where they got these animals, and my guess is that they belong to these extras.
Yeah, probably. They probably called for extras with pets.
Because when he hands the bunny over, it chills immediately.
Yeah.
So
I also love how they're just handing these fucking animals away. Like, there's no
no forms,
no paperwork, no money exchange.
Yeah, like,
most of the time, not even an adult.
Giving them to they're giving these to children. They're not even giving them to parents.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're not allowed to do that.
Let's step back further. How are these children here without their parents? Even like,
I mean, it's the Angel Grove Park. You can get there from anywhere.
That's true.
Well, and I mean, that's the classic, like, TV show thing. It always seemed to me that in shows with kids, they, like, those kids just go wherever the hell they want, and I don't understand.
It's the classic problem of kids shows where they're only actually kids when they need to be, and the rest of the time they're basically tiny adults.
Right.
I mentioned it, I think, on the or maybe it was Mike a long time ago on the Beetleborgs episode. But one of the things about older, I think this has gone away, but like 80s and 90s kid stuff, where the bike is magical and can get you anywhere, like it was a car.
Yeah.
I mean, if you live in a small enough town, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, you always just, it's like, wait, like in the Goonies where they get to the fucking middle, a shack in the middle of nowhere with bikes. And it's like, wait, how did they, okay, whatever,
or
it's fine.
This is not a good, like, it's not a bike example, but even like Stand By Me, like they
well,
get
they're just
so
walking
far,
everywhere
just
in that
walking.
One. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a generational thing where maybe parents gave less of a shit at some point. Even if I had a bike, which I didn't because I was an unathletic piece of shit.
Wow.
Like, I would not have been allowed to just go down to the comic shop on my bike.
No, I was allowed to go to friends' houses in the same neighborhood on a bike. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah, like, probably another one of those city small town things because I could go wherever I wanted.
I was barely allowed outside, honestly. My mom has really, really bad anxiety. I was very much in the house a lot of the time.
Well, you said a generational thing. I do think parents are more protective now, but like, yeah, you're right. It used to, especially in TV and movies.
I've just heard a lot of old grumpy conservatives talking about how we coddle our children. I wonder if this is what they mean.
Yeah. So basically what's happening in Angel Grove today is a bunch of people's children disappear for like an hour and then they come back and have a bunny. And they're like, wait, where did you get that? Who gave it to you? What paperwork did you sign?
How did you get home with that?
Yeah.
The thing about this episode potentially sets up the single most depressing Power Rangers episode in history. With the Power Rangers have to go collect up all the abandoned pets that
they
have to pick. Yeah, and then they have to figure out which ones get to survive the night and which ones need
no,
to
you know what? That's what they're doing. Oh my goodness. They know they can't actually get any parents to sign off on these, but if they just give them away like they're not supposed to, and they get abandoned again, they can round them all up, and that resets the clock on all these animals.
Or, you know, their kid shows up with a bunny, and it would be their responsibility to take it from their child and return it.
Right.
And they were like, well, most of those people aren't going to do that, so.
Well, and by the time, by the time will, they get back here, like, we'll be long gone.
Yeah.
No, see, I'm saying they absolutely will, but they don't get put down until 60 days after they've been held or whatever.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
Most of these animals are on day 59, but now they're back to day six, you know, one.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
I see.
Maybe Billy came up with this then, because that's actually really smart. Damn.
Game that system. It is a scam. It's a scam to save animals, but.
Yeah, it's a good scam. Yeah.
Right.
Like, so, they've been trying for weeks to give these away legitimately, like, through the paperwork and all that, and it's not working.
So Jason says, hopefully, at this rate, we'll give all the pets away today. And I was like, I'm glad that you just snuck that line in there so nobody was concerned that these fake animals might have been in trouble.
I love the fact that they just are giving, they've confirmed, they're just giving them away. It's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
and
take
then,
them.
And then, immediately one of them says, yeah, all these animals are going to end up in good homes. It's like, you don't know that. You're just giving them to whoever asks.
To children.
To children.
Yeah. Like that kid that got that rabbit probably went around the corner and immediately started like throwing rocks at that rabbit.
Oh no, don't say that. Oh no.
Listen, it's a good thing. It's a good thing Mike's not here, because he may have actually died.
Listen, I don't like it any more than you do, but children are shits.
That's true.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So, at this point, Billy points off camera and is like,
Billy and Trini also gave away a pet together, and I'm definitely into that now. Last time, I was very lukewarm on those two. But no, that works. It's doing it for me.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Billy points off camera, and he's like, and Kimberly goes, yeah, that's a lady walking a pig. And then she clarifies, I see it too, as though Billy was tripping.
It's a mirage. Yeah. The Angel Grove Park mirage.
So this lady walks up, and, okay, the one-off actors in Power Rangers are bad. They're worse than the normal actors in Power Rangers. Whoa. On this lady. Like, oh boy.
The thing is, given what happens in the very near future in this episode, I can't tell if this was, like, an intentional, like, just chew the scenery thing, or if this is just, like...
You think she's acting like a weird inhuman
robot
on purpose?
I think they may have told her, act like a weird monster clay man acting like a really melodramatic.
Wait, what's about to happen? What's gonna happen in the near future?
This lady's secretly a putty.
What?
So it's an old lady. This is just someone's grandma, right? Like, on the cast.
Yeah, almost certainly, yeah.
Oh my god, she's wearing slippers, though. It's amazing.
I've got it paused in her face right now, and her glasses are, like, crooked.
Yes. Yeah.
It's great. It's perfect.
And she's like, I need to find a home for Norman, who is a piggy, and, this is my favorite shot, which is that Trini goes, it's so cute, and Kimberly rolls her fucking eyes.
Yep. Yeah, she says yuck, and then immediately covers her mouth like, oops, I probably shouldn't have said that out loud.
In front of the old lady who starts crying.
And when she says yuck, Trini fucking death stares at her like, fuck off, what are you doing?
It's real good.
Yeah.
And then the old lady starts crying, and she's like, please won't someone help me? And at this point, the teens are like, oh god, we need to like call 911. Like, something.
We have to do something.
Someone's grandma's missing from a home, possibly. And this is bad.
Yeah.
But no. Go ahead.
I was also gonna say, we get a shot of like Kimberly's like face, and she's definitely wearing the Dragon Ball Z fusion earrings. She's definitely got those on.
Oh my god, she is. The little balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait, okay. So who is Kimberly a fusion of then?
I don't know. I don't know.
They take the pig, and this lady just walks into the distance, like, just, goodbye!
In the woods.
She is the ghost of Angel Grove Park. She appears at pet giveaways to bestow pigs, and then vanishes.
I am by no means, like, a vet or a farm animal expert, and I get that, like, pigs being fat is kind of a thing, That pig seems obese.
Yeah, it doesn't look healthy.
That pig seems unhealthy.
Unless, you know what? Is it pregnant?
I suppose it's
possible.
Or it depends on where they got this pig. Because if it's a meat, if it's like a slaughtering pig,
then of course it's overweight.
But I don't know where they got it. It is a very fat pig.
Well, it's got like a bulge that it's dragging around on the ground.
Yeah,
that's what makes me think it might be pregnant. Because that
it's
looks
kind
like
kind of upsetting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they take this pig, and again, I don't understand how they are not concerned about where this lady came from or where she's going.
I do like how this is not, like, anything the show did. It's just because it's a pig. But, like, during this whole scene, that pig's just sitting there wagging its tail. Like, it's just kind of happy to be here.
The pig is adorable. He's too fat, but he's fantastic.
Yeah.
So at this point, again,
I love this cut.
Again, it's so good. The Angel Grove Park, Zach is late, and he is sprinting through the woods.
So, he's sprinting through the woods, and at first, I'm like, is he being chased by something? And then he just stops and says, man, I'm late. It seems like there's, like, a serial killer behind him with a chainsaw until he says that.
So, yeah. We definitely saw, like, they own at least one car, I think two among them. There's the Radbug, and then there was another car.
Trini has a car.
Right.
They have fucking vehicles.
But
like,
I mean, this is in the middle of the park. How is he going to drive through all these trees?
No, but why is he driving through the park? Or going through the park?
Because we've established this park is like the desert from Beetlejuice. It goes on forever, and this pet adoption stand is clearly deep enough into it that you can't drive to it.
Literally, anywhere you are going from to anywhere, you have to go through the park in Angel Grove. It's so weird.
If you go too far into the park, you can't get back out.
Yeah.
The park is actually the entirety of Angel Grove, and everything, including like the business districts, are just sprung up sections of it.
Yeah, I feel like if you go deep enough into the park, you're actually in the morphing grid.
Yeah.
Wait.
True.
So it's like the fucking Hotel California.
Yeah.
Luke, I actually like that.
Yeah.
Which is that the reason the park doesn't make sense spatially is because it's like bleeding from the morphing grid.
You know, I think we've talked about that before because like sometimes the school and the juice bar are the same place and sometimes they're different places.
Yeah. So yeah. it's ruining the actual Angel Grove at this
every
point.
Every time the Power Rangers morph, the barrier between reality and morphality gets a little thinner.
Isn't that like basically a plot point of an arc of Yu Yu Hakusho?
Probably.
It's been like 15 years since I've watched Yu Yu Hakusho. I can't confirm or deny that. I'm just saying.
That's a pretty good show.
Yeah, I remember liking
it. I like that one.
I mean, it's a plot from Star Trek.
So, after this, Zach sees this lady.
Yes.
This is my favorite shot in the episode.
I was so confused.
Which is that the lady starts acting like a putty before she turns back into a putty.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, arms straight out and like running in place, sort of.
Yeah. And for a second, I looked and I was like, so this is a stunt person, right? Like, they didn't have this old, but you definitely see her face, and I don't think they wasted money on old lady makeup for a stunt double.
You see her face from very far away, though.
That's true, yeah. but Luke, give me that they asked an old lady, please pretend that you are a weird, a weird clay man who does interpretive dances.
Yeah. Show me how you feel.
Yes. So yeah, she turns into a putty, and then and at this point,
I like how while she's doing the putty act, Zach just kind of looks at her, puts his hands on his hips, like, the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only appropriate reaction to that.
Yeah.
So when she turns into a putty, my wife turned to me and goes, wait, was she a bunch of putties? Because
three more appear.
Because a bunch of putties show up. And she thought that the old lady was like a stack of putties.
Yes, a putty king.
I mean, why not?
You mean like a bunch of tiny children in a coat? Kind of deal? Yep.
Yeah. Also, good job calling your wife finally.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got bugged about it by a guest, so.
Yeah, I mean, we give you shit when you get it wrong. We should congratulate you when you get it right.
Yes, positive and negative reinforcement.
Right. Yeah. So, the thing about, again, are putties sentient?
They have to be for this plan to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At this point, I kind of think that was the
use of subterfuge.
Yeah. So at this point, they are just murdering sentient beings every episode. Like,
do they get murdered or do they just get teleported away every
episode?
That's
never been really clear.
At least some of them went away to live at the Putty Bowl restaurant.
Yeah, of course.
The Zed era ones definitely explode when you hit that.
That's true. Yes. They die.
When you punch the Z, those are dead.
Yeah. These ones, I don't know. Cause you know, we've only seen them make, hold on. We've only seen them make putties once.
Yeah.
Are these the same putties?
They get beat up every single episode.
They had to have made at least two sets of them, because again, Putty Bowl restaurant.
That's true.
Well, I mean, we don't know how many they made. Like, they probably rotate through the same crop, but I mean, that skyscraper was huge, so they've got storage room for plenty.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I really don't know if they die or if they're teleporting back to the moon at the end of their fights. I don't know.
Joel's comment. Now I'm just imagining like the putties that fail are just like stuffed into like overcrowded fucking storage rooms as punishment. Oh, no. That is some nightmarish shit.
Like a
Joel.
Factory
Jesus.
Farm?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So yeah.
So you're saying that anything. In the sequel to this episode, the Power Rangers are also trying to get people to adopt putties.
Yes.
please take this putty home.
It's the Power Rangers version of the book The Jungle, except like they're shipping putties to be used as crafting materials.
Oh god.
Yeah, that's where Michaels gets all their clay. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I think putties would make a pretty good pet.
Yeah, I would probably adopt a putty. I wonder if you could teach it to, like, get you the paper and stuff.
Like, it would...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they're sentient beings, so yes.
Well, okay, yes.
So,
it's too creepy. Hold on, Molly, you first.
It's too creepy to have a putty as a pet, because they're, like, human-shaped, and I don't think I can handle that.
It'd be a little bit like the end of Shaun of the Dead, where he's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Just keeping his zombified friend in the...
Alright, Joel, what?
So, in the last episode where the putties dressed up as human beings, which I think was the only other time we've seen this is the clown episode.
No, it was the Evil Power Ranger episode.
I didn't see that one.
Okay, yeah, in the Evil Power Ranger episode, all the evil rangers were actually putties.
Okay, yeah, and the Kimberly's putty hit on Skull.
Yeah, and they spoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they spoke.
So,
they
why can putties use the English language when they're disguised as humans, but not when they're just putties?
We talked about this a lot. I think what we landed on was they can always understand human language, but their clay forms lack, like, vocal
My guess is they're not chords. Disguised, they're actually morphing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it was a disguise, well, not a disguise, but, like, the mirror guys, yeah, he, like, transformed them into things that look like the Power Rangers.
Okay, so it's some sort of magic spell. I can
their putty forms, like, just, you know, they just, the tongues don't do it. Just like, you know, like dogs.
Well, I guess this was really inadvertently racist of me, because I'm assuming they're not speaking when they're making the little gobbledygook noises.
No, they're speaking, what did we land
on?
Yeah,
gobbledygook.
Puttish,
gobbledygook. Got it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually think they are speaking a language there. I just think they lack the necessary, like, organs to, like, make speech. They understand it just perfectly, though.
Okay, sure.
It's like you cut a person's tongue out. They're not talking tongueless ease.
So, they end up...
Although I guess they do speak sign language. And
fighting Zack. Yeah, that's true. They fight Zack for a while. There's this device that he keeps trying to grab while they're fighting.
Yeah.
Well,
so I... Zack fights, what are there, like five of them? They ambush him, and he kicks their ass.
This is a good fight.
Before that
happens... How many times did Tommy get ambushed by a group of putties and get tied up?
Yeah, that's true.
Zack is way better at this than Tommy is.
Though, to be fair, Tommy always got tricked by the putties, which is still really sad. Like, they outsmarted him most of the time.
Yeah. Tommy also had way less fighting experience against putties than Zack does at this point.
That's true.
Before,
this is a good fight.
Before the fight, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Before the fight, we get a quick shot where we cut up to the moon. And Rita basically just says, yeah, I've got an awesome plan, but doesn't actually tell us what it is.
Yeah.
It's a really weird, unnecessary scene.
Also, when the putties first show up, Zach goes, well, this isn't a fair fight. And it cuts to me going, no, it isn't. Is it, Zach?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, and then she just talks about how, yes, I've got a brilliant plan, but doesn't actually clue us in on it for once, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So they fight for a while. And yeah, like Walter Jones always, I think, gives it the most effort in these fights. And it's very fun to watch him.
He must have really enjoyed doing these, because, like, he's said in interviews, like, most of the time what all they did was they just kind of came up with some stuff on the fly. So
right,
like, this is just him improvising cool, like, dance fighting moves.
There's definitely a bunch of like breakdancey type stuff, especially the end when he gets up off the ground.
There's a point where he does the worm for like 30 seconds to dodge attacks.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's like dodging by doing the worm, which is pretty good.
Actually impressive camera work for this show, where they're like have it like on the ground and they're kind of tracking him as he's going backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a cool fight. Go ahead.
And there's also a scene where he kicks a putty into a tree and he like wraps around it and then just slides down.
Yeah.
Luke, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say on the topic of like them improvising these, I saw something that's not directly relevant here, but I guess when Jason David Frank first started on this show and, you know, did some of those putty fights, the stunt people had to like take him aside and be like, you understand this isn't like a real karate fight, right? Like, you don't actually have to hit us.
That's pretty great.
Oh, that's good.
Real quick note before we move on. There is a part where he kicks the shit out of one of the putties, and then for some reason they play the funeral march song.
Yeah, but a really goofy, like, carnival-y version of it.
Yeah, and I was like, so that putty's super dead, I guess. Like, he killed that one.
Okay, so there we go. That answers our question. Yeah.
That putty has internal cracking.
Right. Oh, no. God. So, yeah, he says, those guys sure know how to ruin a good day, and then he picks up this device off the ground, and... So this thing is part of Rita's plan, and I want to voice my irritation that the witch from space continues to use, like, weird technology to do her plans.
Well, but it's magical technology. Here's the thing. It's been 10,000 years since she was last witching. Like, time has moved forward, and somebody, I assume Squat, has been really pressuring her to get with the times.
Fair enough. So, he says, I need to get this to Billy. Then, we cut back to the teens. There's a shot of all of the animals being gone. And then, Balk and Skull sprint up out of nowhere.
Well, again, listen, you gotta get started at like 5 a.m. if you want to make it to this pet adoption place in the outer edge of the park.
Yeah. And they want to adopt.
So
and
just a quick point, I can see behind Bulk and Skull a parking lot, so I don't know what was up with.
Shut your mouth! That parking lot is not connected to any roads.
So, they say, we want something cool and different like us, at which point Norman walks out from under the, like, tablecloth they had up over the tables, and they're like, here you go, fellas, meet Norman. And they look at it for a second and then look back at each other and then kind of go like, okay.
Yeah.
Which, if Bulk and Skull were going to have a pet, I mean...
Yeah. It's like Skull already has a pet pig, so it works.
What'd you say?
Skull had a pet pig already.
Oh, Jesus. So, yeah, they cut to school and, again... The other students at Angel Grove High are monsters, right? Like, they're just awful.
Yeah.
They're terrible human beings.
Bulk is so happy about this pig.
And the crowd around him is insane. It's like completely packed the hallway.
Yeah.
To look at this pig.
Well, which, sure, I mean, yeah, Bulk brought an animal into school. Like, that's like the biggest thing you can get excited about.
I guess that's true. I guess that you got a point. That it is not a normal occurrence. Also, he never gets in trouble for this. Like, it's never even...
Well, Mr. Kaplan's clearly...
Staff comes by.
Yeah, well, Mr. Kaplan's clearly cool with bringing pigs into the school.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, he's like feeding it, popcorn, and yeah, Balkan Skull just looks so fucking happy.
They've put like a collar on it that's like the kind that like old dukes wear, like the really frilly collar thing.
Okay, yeah. See, here's what I thought that was. I thought it was a big collar, but they couldn't find spiked collars for pigs.
That might be the case.
So they made spikes out of construction paper.
And I think you're right.
That's more likely.
This is the cutest thing in this entire show. Just this teen boy real excited about his pet pig.
And they put a bandana on him. It's adorable.
We have to talk about...
Sorry, go ahead, Molly.
We have to talk about what Bulk is wearing. We have to.
Do we have to, though? Because I don't understand it.
Let's go with it. Molly, why don't you explain to us what he's wearing? Because I sure as shit don't understand it.
He's wearing his leather jacket. He's got, like, a purple shirt on underneath that. Or gray. It's hard to tell.
Normal so far.
He's got jorts. Under the jorts, he has longer patterned shorts.
They almost look like oversized boxers.
Yeah. And
I suppose he figured he'd just cut the middleman at this point. Everyone always sees his boxers anyways. Might as well just put them out there.
Yeah.
Are absolutely his boxers. We've seen that exact pattern.
Is it the pig ones?
It's not the business pigs. It's the racing pigs where they've got the numbers on.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I forgot the Bulk already loved pigs.
Yeah, it's the race pigs. And then under that, he's got his tights from the Rumpelstiltskin episode.
So he's actually been wearing tights a couple episodes now.
Has he?
Yeah, or like leggings. I'm not sure which.
And he's also got like leather work boots on.
Yeah.
He's fucking look.
I want to know who... Like, we've always had questions about, like, where does the wardrobe come from? Who picks it? Like, is this something that Paul Schreier came up with, or did somebody make him wear it?
Yeah, I don't know. One of my favorite parts about this outfit is that the leather jacket is, like, pretty short on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it cuts, like, you get all of the jort. It's not like it covers some of it. You get the full jort.
I really love how the pig boxers are so oversized that they bunch up on the inside part.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's a good look. It's a really good look.
Let's not go that far. Good.
It's a look.
Yeah, it's a look. It's a bulk original.
But yeah, this is where I stopped watching the episode because he was so happy and I knew he was going to be real sad when that pig turned out to be a monster.
Well, that's not actually exactly what happens, but
I know, but
he's literally like, you're so smart. You're the smartest pig in the world. Oh, no, sorry. He tries to get it to do tricks because Skull bought a book.
A book that seems like it's aimed at like fourth graders.
Well, you know.
He bought a book to be a responsible pig owner. Yeah, they're trying to be good dads.
Yeah, they're trying to be good dads. And he's like, oh, Bulk, did you know that pigs are smarter than most animals? And apparently Bulk thinks that smart means it just comes equipped with tricks.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he also is like, and smarter than some humans to Skull, which seems like really mean for no reason.
It's harsh, yeah. And so he tells it to like play dead, do roll over, you know, Norman. We'll not truck with this.
He completely eats popcorn.
I don't know if that pig would be capable of rolling over.
I don't think
it could do it.
And then he's like, Norman, stand there and ignore me. and then he pets it and is like, you're so smart. And actually, I in my brain, I will now admit, I think I added in the students like laughing at them.
No, they
don't.
Kind of enjoy it. Yeah.
They kind of laugh.
But it's not like when normally when they just point and laugh at
their
over
faces. The top mockery.
Yeah,
it's not.
And I mean, it's kind
of
funny.
Play.
He's telling to do tricks and it's ignoring him. It's a little funny.
Yeah. So
I really wish, like, obviously they couldn't do this because I don't think that pig was really capable of doing it, but it would have been really funny if his last command was when the pig finally started doing tricks.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, I feel like these kids are mostly just as enamored as we are with how adorable this, like, tableau is.
Like, any time where Bulk is, like, paying attention to something other than them and not making a huge mess everywhere with cakes or swagger is probably a good day in Angel Grove High.
So we cut to Billy's garage and...
Well, yeah, I mean, we cut up to the moon for a split second, as we do.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you're right. And, yeah, and they're like, they took the bait.
He's like, the plan is working perfectly, and I'm just, what's the plan? Like, you gave them a pig, and it's not even like the Power Rangers have it, it's just with Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Like, what's the plan?
Here.
My favorite part of this is that they know that Bulk and Skull are tied to the, like, are in, cause we don't ever see them watching Bulk and Skull. They're always watching the Rangers, but apparently they know that Bulk and Skull are like buddies. Or, but not even buddies, but just attached at the hip, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's what makes this show so weird, is there's no concept of secret identities for the villains.
Right.
No, they know everything about the heroes.
Yeah. It's definitely weird because, you know, like, when I started watching this, I was like, maybe all kids' superhero shows were like that, where, like, they didn't bother with...
No, but, if anything, they overused the whole, I can't let my parents find out about my secret.
Yeah, like Sailor Moon takes it to an almost ridiculous extreme. Where,
Sailor Moon's hilarious, because there's no reason for no one to recognize her.
Right, they just look the same.
It's literally just a clothing change.
Yeah. And the best thing is, when they do recognize her, it is always because they walk in on the transformation sequence. So then it's just, here's the transformation sequence with random cutaways to the villain, like, gasping while their face is, like, lit with, like, purple and pink lights.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
But yeah, so they just know. And also, this made me really pissed, which is that Goldar says, and soon they'll get a pig surprise. And I wanted, whoever fucking wrote the subtitles, I'm so mad at you, because they put big surprise. They missed the joke.
The joke that was like right there in the title. Like, yeah, that's pretty egregious.
Yeah. But yeah, as you were saying, we cut to Billy's garage next.
And here's how, here's how Billy determines what an unknown technological device does.
Yes.
He takes a soldering iron and shoots sparks at it.
No, he takes a random hunk of shit with two sparklers taped to
it. Yeah. I was just about to say.
Like,
you're right.
If it was trying to be anything, it would be some sort of welder, but it's not really that either.
No.
It is literally two sparklers.
Bad. Yeah.
It's sparklers.
Yeah, and he's like, here's all figured out. Sparks. Got it.
Well, Zach asks him if he's figured out the device yet, and he's like, well, it's counting down to zero, but I don't know how long is left.
Think about that.
It's counting down to zero. How do you not know how long
that
is left?
An excellent point that I completely missed.
I will defend this slightly as a computer programmer. Yeah. Maybe his dumb sparkler device told him there was some, like, function that will fire when a timer hits zero, but he can't access the timer variable to know what it's at.
I was thinking it's counting down in moon minutes or
right.
That doesn't matter. You don't need to know the units as long as you can see the number change.
Yeah,
like
time
two
it,
times.
You know.
Like that's all you need.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But so the other thing that happens is, well, sorry, it's not something that happens. It's something that basically, at this point, I'm pretty sure Billy doesn't know anything about science.
No.
And then he's just lying all the time.
Yeah, and the other kids are just too dumb to realize, except Trini, who feels bad for him and just kind of...
trying to help.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he doesn't know anything about this thing and is just like, I mean, I'll just fucking make shit up and they'll believe me. This is awesome.
that I want to go there with you, but he's always right.
Yeah, and also later he literally builds Zords, so no, clearly that's not true.
Yeah.
But
like, right now he's trying to figure out how this thing works by welding it to a clamp.
Yes.
Basically.
So, how do they make this fucking leap? Oh, okay, he says, Zach says that the putty was dressed like an old lady. And Trini's like, oh shit, that was probably the lady who gave us Norman.
I don't know how they didn't put that together, like, the second Zach got there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I like how we've reached a point where logical deductions are a leap to you now, Zach.
Well, I forgot that I forgot that they had the old lady segue. Knowledge. Yeah.
It was a weird separation of knowledge though, because Zach knew the old lady turned into a putty, and they knew the old lady gave them the pig, but
right.
That information was completely separate from one another.
But they do put it together, and they do say, they do, Billy and Trini look at each other and say, Norman! And Zach is like, excuse me?
Yeah, who's Norman?
But yeah, they say it's Balkan Skull's pig, and we've gotta go, you know, find them and make sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. And Zach runs off. Well, actually they all leave, but then later Zach's the only one who shows up, so I'm not quite sure.
So they walk out of Billy's garage, and the next shot is them walking down the stairs at the school.
Yes!
Yeah.
So is the garage connected to the school?
Again. Wait, was it his garage, or maybe they were using like a science room? Maybe?
That was absolutely his garage.
It was his garage for sure.
But yeah, so again, space-time is just broken. Like,
there's a morphing grid portal in Billy's garage that they've programmed to go wherever they need to go.
Also, like, I understand you don't know what that thing does. Maybe take a hammer to it.
Oh wait, no, maybe they are still in the school, because
yeah, or pry it open, or like just any other thing than what you're doing. So
yeah,
anyway,
do something with it.
Anyway, Jason says, okay, let's split up and look for Balkan Skull. So there you go. That's what happens. I forgot about that bit in between. Then we have sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just like that they're reasoning through this, they worry that Rita may have done something to Norman. They don't worry that Norman is some sort of trap. Like, they just take on faith that this is a real pig that Rita's messing with.
Oh, yeah, and listen, we cannot gloss over this quick scene where they talk to Jason and Kimberly, because what are Jason and Kimberly wearing?
Kimberly is killing it, is what you mean.
Oh man, that you're right. Kimberly's outfit's fantastic.
It's great.
I would wear that in a heartbeat.
It is a denim. It's the top part of overalls.
Well, yes. I bet she's just got that skirt over the bottom of the overalls.
Well, no, because you can actually see the bottom. She's wearing pink cutoff.
Well, if it's overalls with shorts on it,
okay,
you can get
that
under there.
Sure. So she's wearing overalls with maybe shorts attached, and then a skirt, multicolored plaid skirt over it, and then a pink shirt. And I love it.
Well, no, it's like her unitard again, because you can, like you said, you can see the leggings part of it.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Too. So it's
because they keep wanting to put Kimberly in skirts and dresses, but also they want her to do flips, so she always has to wear a unitard.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't know if you can tell if they are cutoff tights. I think they just might be, like, regular, because you don't get a good shot to
That's true.
In this episode, no, but we've seen before that she wears
it. Oh, yeah, before, for sure.
So I'm just assuming it's the same outfit she normally wears. Jason, on the other hand, looks like he's ready for fourth grade picture day.
Yes.
The sleeves are broken on his, like, it looks like a button down. Is it a button down?
No, it zips down like a little bit. It's like
it's for him to show off his man cleavage.
It's like a
sleeveless, it's a zipper polo.
Oh my god, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a zipper polo with no sleeves.
The sleeves are very, very short.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his hair is like parted on the side, and like looks like it has so much hairspray in it that you could like crack a rock over his head and not hurt his hair.
Yeah.
So we cut to Balkan Skull at the juice bar, and this is my
this is the best scene ever.
I can't tell if this is gayer than the mayonnaise thing, but it's really close.
I think it's just as gay, just in a different way.
They are
full
on working towards a Lady in the Tramp situation with a foot long sub sandwich.
Yep. It's so good.
They
it's
are literally so eating either side of a sub sandwich.
Yeah, Bulk is holding it up. I don't know if he's noticing that Skull's eating the other side, because like Skull's doing it kind of sneaky like, but he's working on getting that smooch.
Also, there's a giant Ernie bowl of popcorn in the middle of the table. Mm-hmm. And I think that the juice bar spontaneously generates these things.
Well, that's Ernie's half of the Bulk curve. Or popcorn just spontaneously appears wherever he is.
Oh, so you think it's that. I'm thinking back to when Billy made him that cake machine. I think he probably made him a popcorn machine that just never stops making popcorn.
Yeah,
he has,
like,
so he has to give it away for free or it'll...
It's like Brewster's popcorn.
Yeah.
There's worse things to have, I guess.
It's like, yeah. I have to eat a million pieces of popcorn today.
It's a perpetual popcorn machine. Billy violated the laws of thermodynamics to create popcorn.
Yes.
Has a bad case of hat hair, I want to point out, because his beret is sitting next to him on the table, and his hair is kind of nuts.
His boots are something else.
His boots are fantastic.
They're just like yellow rain boots.
They're yellow rain boots, but they look like combat boots, kind of.
Yeah, they're lace-up.
Yeah.
They are lace-up, like,
yeah.
So this lady who looks like an April O'Neil clone, basically, walks up behind them, and she is totally enamored with this pig.
Yeah.
And she says... He's a cutie, what's his name? And Skull says Bulk, and it's the best
His name's Bulk. So... Oh my god, Here's
my issue here. After this episode, I can no longer even pretend to deny that these two are totally boyfriends.
Yeah.
How does that reconcile with all the ways that Skull is horrible to Bulk, though?
I mean, it's a complicated relationship.
I think Skull is a power bottom, is basically the thing.
Like, I don't think that has anything to do with, like, editing a video together to make your lover look like a huge asshole.
Okay, so Bulk is familiar with pickup artist moves, but he didn't realize that you can stop negging them once you've got them.
No, okay, so there's if we're going with this power bottom theory, that's just him bratting it up so he would get punished later.
Right.
Oh, I see.
There's a thing in sub-dom relationships.
Yep. Okay. At last, we've gotten Zach to break the seal on his kinks.
Okay. Seal in this context is a little concerning.
No, it's fine.
I actually don't know the specific term, but there's a thing where the sub is not really it's like they kind of still dictate everything, even though they're ostensibly supposed to be...
Power bottom is how you would say that.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, I didn't mean that specifically for when they're doing it. I meant that in, like, a personality way.
Listen, you said that, though.
Yeah, I did.
But you definitely said that.
So, I think, I mean, that's the deal, basically, is that Skull is, like... teases Bulk so
he's
that later
out.
Yeah.
I see. I'll accept that. Yeah. Okay.
So he says Skull, and then they're like, oh no, sorry, you met the pig. His name is Norman. This girl goes over to pet the pig, and they're like, oh yeah, this is working out great. We're gonna pick up this lady, I guess, for a threesome?
That's immediately what I thought, because they're like those two are doing it later for sure.
Yeah.
She pets this pig. Also, they got him a bowl that says Norman on it, which is great.
Yeah, they wasted no time in like establishing this pig as theirs.
Yeah.
Now, this is the part that makes the fucking device make even less sense. Okay, they cut to the moon. Here's the order of events. They cut to the moon. Goldar says it's time to cast a spell. She casts a spell. They cut to the garage, and Billy says the timer ran out and the little thing that's spinning on the top of it stopped spinning.
Okay.
Oh, so I get it then. It does have a timer. He couldn't tell them when it would run out because it was not following basic like laws of time progression.
Well no, because
and her spell broke out of the time loop.
He said it's time to cast the spell.
Yeah,
maybe it's related to the timer.
Yeah, like it's
a
sync
this
thing.
Device is just an alarm clock.
Yeah, basically. So is the timer literally just to tell her when to cast the spell?
No, here's how I see it. This is techno witchery. She's got a device that can do, like, apparently can turn a real life pig into a monster, as we'll see in a minute. But in order to actually do it, she needs to combine it with a spell, and that spell has to be cast at the exact right time to sync up with the whatever the device does.
Okay. Why,
now,
though?
What if that is actually, like, you know, in D&D, when you go to cast a spell, you gotta have components and and a focus. Uh-huh. It's just the focus for the spell.
For the spell, okay.
Yeah, and the counter redirects it to the pig.
And so the counter was just to denote how long the casting time was then. Like, yeah. it was a three-round spell.
Required concentration, 2 hours.
It's just so weird. Like, I don't understand why they didn't just have her cast the spell.
Well, look, when you're mixing the ancient, unknowable arcane arts with modern technology, there's going to be some complexities involved.
Well, it doesn't even, like, when they cut to the moon, it doesn't even have Rita in the shot, right? It's just Goldar and Squat.
Yeah,
I think you're
right. Yeah, so you don't even see Rita cast a spell. It just happens.
It's really weird.
No, we get a quick shot of her and lightning flashing.
Okay.
Do we?
Yeah, she says some mumbo jumbo.
So, at this point, right. We cut back down to the bar, and Ernie walks over and is like, you can't have a fucking pig in here? Like, what are you doing?
Which is fair.
The first time anyone has said that to anyone in this episode.
Which is fair. Norman turns into the pudgy pig. Literally the same costume from
I was gonna before. Ask, because I didn't see that episode. It's the exact same costume, right?
Yeah, it's the same costume.
It's the exact same.
And they're like, well, that didn't say anything about that in the book, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they run away, and let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and talk about the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, basically, at this point, the monster happens, and Bulk and Skull freak out, they run to the other side of the room, and listen, I know that this is a repeated monster, I know that the fight footage is reused fight footage, that sucks, but it's fine. The part where Bulk is holding food and the monster wants to eat it and he has to feed it for the monster to go away is literally exactly what happened in the previous episode, except that they reshot it.
Is it like, really?
Yeah, it's a different shot. It's just they were like, well, I mean, that's what would happen, so...
It's the same scenario, because it's the same monster with the same motivation.
Right, so we'll
I'll say at this point, though, something about this feels way weirder. Like, just Zach standing on the sidelines, I think, really adds to this, where it's...
Well, I think just, that even
yeah,
happened...
Yeah, you feed that pig, Bulk.
Yeah, but didn't that even happen before?
I don't think so, I don't remember.
I can't remember. It's really bothering
I intended to go back and watch the original Pudgy Pig episode just to see how... much tracks from the previous one, and I didn't get around to it.
Yeah, I have a question. Is this, like, these 20 episodes, because I know they ordered more, and reused a bunch of footage, like, do they just, like, recycle all the monsters, like, through these next 20 episodes?
So here's what I think happened. I think that after 40, they ordered a bunch of new footage.
Uh-huh.
But they maybe didn't have it yet.
Yeah, like it would take time for them to make all that stuff and send it. Yeah, and I'm sure the production cycle for this was just jam them out as quick as possible.
So they end up making a fair number of remakes, basically. Or not remakes, but like the same monster over again.
Recycling.
Yeah.
It's the three R's of making Power Rangers: reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so... I think that's what happened, is that they just didn't have it yet, so they had to redo some of the same stuff from before, or reuse the same monsters. They straight up used some of the same fight footage in this episode. So, that sucks. But yeah, there definitely is a standoff between Bulk and, the Pudgy Pig in the first episode that happens, and then where they're like, oh, you have to feed him, and then he runs away, and then this happens again, but it's a different shot. It's just very strange.
And Bulk is desperately hanging onto this sub.
And Bulk does not want to give up his sandwich. Yeah.
What's interesting here is they don't seem to show any recognition that this is a familiar scene. Like, this is something that's happened before.
No, that's the thing, is that they haven't seen that many monsters.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they just
play it straight.
But they've seen this one, though. So you'd think they'd be like, fucking really?
Well, this is the third episode, right?
Well,
yeah.
That was one of the earliest monsters.
Well, Zordon actually refers to it as the Pudgy Pig, which I guess sort of implies that they've seen this thing
before. He says, once again, you face Rita's Pudgy Pig. But, like, but it's a different... Oh, this is so confusing.
Yeah, it's not...
Wait, I guess if Pudgy Pig is just a spell.
Yeah. Well, remember that they have these blueprints for these monsters, and they'll say, like, we're going to use this one.
Yeah, nothing about this makes sense. Like, it is completely different from anything Rita ever does.
Okay. Yeah. What if the Monster-Matic is just a machine that casts spells and transforms stuff into the monsters?
But then how does that make sense with the Shell Shock, where they just threw random shit into the Monster-Matic to see what would happen?
So what happens...
It's like an animation spell for that, like...
Yeah.
Well, here's my take on it, Luke, is the material that goes into the Monster-Matic isn't what makes the monster. It's just giving the Monster-Matic the, like, instructions for, here, this is what kind of monster I want. Then the Monster-Matic, like, teleports and transforms...
Yeah, that actually works because we've talked about it before, how, like, the shape of it dictates its powers. So, like, you know, if you give it wings, then it can fly. So if it's a pig and they cast the spell on it, like an actual pig, it's going to be a pig monster.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it's going to come out. So I guess that makes...
Like, I guess that
which
works.
Which I guess makes the machine that Billy was trying to figure out a portable Monster-Matic.
I guess?
Or something.
Man, we're getting there.
Yeah, I'm upset that it's even close, because it's fucking confusing. It's stupid. Like, they didn't think this out at all.
No.
No, I'm sure they painstakingly detailed every single plot point in this episode.
Yes, I want to see the show Bible for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I bet it rivals Star Trek's.
Not sarcastic. Please, I want to see the show Bible for Power Rangers.
As far as, like...
I think it's a single sheet that says, Jason equals red, Kimberly equals pink.
Jason, Matt, what were you saying? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to shift it over to Jason, the red man, the one who kills wood very strong.
So, okay, they're holding... He's holding on this sandwich, but also, before Zach shows up to tell him to feed the pig, which, as you pointed out, is a little weird.
Yeah, because he gives him a piece of the sandwich. He's like, that's not good enough, Bolt. Feed him more.
Yeah. there's
Zach,
a...
Zach, buddy, you want to tell us something?
Yeah. But before that happens, there is the saddest thing, which is they're like, don't you recognize us? We're your parents.
Yeah.
At this part, I have notes written down here, and at this part, I just have Bulk and Skull's life is pain, and Bulk loves food.
Yep. It's the only, he's lost his son, and the only thing that gives him solace is that sandwich. And then And then he has to give it up to this thing that is no longer his precious baby boy.
Here's the thing. The Pudgy Pig, in a later scene we'll see, actually remembers being Norman. And is, like, aware of his piggy state. So he should recognize Bulk and Skull as his parents. Like, they've been
probably
with
him. That's why they've been using clay figures before, so it doesn't have, like, memories of what...
Right, because inevitably, when they don't, this kind of shit happens, like with Tickle Sneezer.
Uh-huh.
So Zach shows up, he makes Bulk feed the pig.
He tells Bulk to give him the sandwich, and Bulk says, forget it, I haven't eaten since lunch!
Yeah.
Which, weird, okay, and then, yeah, the pig just teleports out, basically, once Zach goes to fight him.
He goes, why don't you open up the bakery? And then it cuts back to Zach, and then it cuts back to the pig, and he yells, I'm Vapor, and then disappears.
Yeah, well, the pig is, like, talking in... I'll put a clip, but he's speaking English, but it's in, like, mumbles and, like, a weird voice filter, basically, so it's hard to understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if for sure That's what he says, but that's what the subtitles say. Why don't you open up the bakery?
Yeah, which, that one might not be right, but yeah. I'm Vapor sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's what he says, and then he turns into mist says, and teleports away.
Yeah. Just says, I'm Vapor.
Yep.
Cry, bacon breath. I'm Vapor.
Yeah,
this episode's great.
It really, actually, you can actually, the Pudgy Pig's kind of insane gibberish dialogue is surprisingly comprehensible if you, like, really intently listen, and it's actually really funny stuff.
I'll have to go back.
I mean, I have the sense of humor of an actual 7-year-old, which is why I'm watching the show, but I found it funny, so fuck all of you.
So then they teleport to the command center where Zordon body shames Pudgy Pig.
Yep.
He says, we must stop this overweight menace. You don't know what weight a pig monster is supposed to be,
yeah,
Zordon.
What the hell do you weigh for a giant pig head with legs?
Yeah.
What the hell is this thing's weight anyway?
I mean, its name is Pudgy Pig, so I think it kind
of... It's supposed to be that way. So at this point...
Zordon's just like, listen, kids, go out there and fuck them up.
Yeah, and at this point, everything gets way weirder, because Trini is like, no, it's a real pig, we can't hurt it.
Yeah, she actually says, his name is Norman, and...
Well, oh, no, Trini says we can't hurt it, it's a real pig, and then Kimberly's like, yeah, Zordon, get a load of this shit, its name is Norman. And Zordon responds, this is unfortunate, and I assume he's referring to the name of the pig.
Norman's a good name for a pig,
though. That's a bummer name for a pig.
I think Norman's a good name for a pig.
I also, Zordon doesn't know anything about human naming conventions.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, so he's like, well, that pig isn't named like Zord Pig or something, so it's stupid.
Yeah. And at this point, Zordon basically is out of ideas. His one and only plan was murder, and they're like, we can't do that. And he's like,
Zordon's defense here, they're like, we can't kill a pig, and it's like, yeah, you fucking can. You can take a gun and shoot it, and it's
dead.
You're not
trying very hard, are you?
And also, I don't think that all the rangers are vegetarians, right. So...
Trini might be.
Yeah, that's true.
Trini might be.
Actually, I think... I'm pretty sure she is. I would astonish me if she wasn't, honestly.
I don't know if they've mentioned it, but...
She hasn't mentioned that she's a vegan, so we know she's not.
That's... Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, okay, fair.
That was harsh, jeez.
It's fucking true, though.
Zordon is like, well, then, I don't know, keep it under control, okay, bye! And then,
yeah, just don't let it get away, I guess.
So they teleport, they morph and go fight, and then this is literally the fight from the previous Pudgy Pig episode.
Well, yes and no. There's one important
shot where he jumps down from the building and then jumps back up on top of the building
and then
jumps down off the building.
Okay, so here's the thing about... Here's the thing about Pudgy Pig version Norman. He doesn't really seem super threatening.
No. There's really almost no, like... Like, he doesn't have any motivation to be evil.
And he's not. Like, when they go to, like, fight him, he's just sitting on top of the building fucking chillaxing.
They made him monstrous looking, but they didn't give him monstrous intentions. He's still just a pig trying to do pig stuff.
It is very similar to,
Yeah, I mean, listen, that thing at the juice bar, not really that weird for a pig.
Yeah.
It's not even like he was attacking him. He was just like, give me the food. I want the food. He was more like somebody who's really impatient. As
like, I actually I thought the way this was gonna go was that Bulk and Skull tame this monster and the Power Rangers destroy it.
Oh, jeez. That'd have been real dark.
You are still my son, and still love you. Father!
That's exactly what I wanted to happen.
No, not quite, but yeah, they fight it for a little while, and then he, like, blows them away.
No, he doesn't, though.
What happens?
He does nose lasers.
He shoots nose lasers, it cuts to them in the same place they were, just, where'd he go? He vanished!
Yeah, he just leaves again.
He shoots lasers that make him teleport.
Yeah, so he just...
yeah, it's actually propulsion.
He just wants to get away, I guess. Like, he doesn't want to fight him. And I don't understand, like, I'm not even sure Rita was like, yeah, this monster's gonna fuck everybody up.
Well,
like,
we'll find out in a minute that's not the point of him.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's just a diversion.
So basically, Zordon is the problem here. He's the one who's like, go kill it, but
yes,
he's not
hostile. I think we can circle back to that statement. Zordon is the problem here.
Zordon is
yeah.
The
yeah, I mean, like, Zordon, like, definitely just wants them to kill people, or monsters, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
So they cut to the command center. Where'd he go?
His geomolecular.
Yeah, we'll use the geomolecular signature to locate him, and then they find him, and then they teleport them to where the pig is.
Did anyone else laugh at the bit where Alpha's like, oh god, how are we gonna find it? And he's like, search Angel Grove, dipshit. And he's like, oh, yeah. It's right there.
Yeah. I do want to point out that during that fight with the pudgy pig, like, you hear Trini yell, come on, we don't want to hurt you, but they're definitely, like, pulling axes and swords and, stabs at it.
Right, because it's previous footage, so yeah. They're still attacking it, yeah. And then there's a scene up at the moon, and then, yeah, like Joel says, the pudgy pig is not to attack, it's a distraction, and Goldar's just gonna go fuck up Angel Grove. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah,
he's just gonna Goldar's smash like, you know what works? Me fucking stuff up. What doesn't work is the Rangers being there when I do it.
As much as I'm loving all of this, I think the plan would have worked just even better, maybe, if they just, like, released a greased-up pig into Angel Grove for them to chase around.
Yeah, probably.
So, in the next scene, the Power Rangers teleport to a farm. Because this episode wasn't wonderful enough already.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
Is this some of the footage they ordered? Because Jason does not look gigantic.
No. Oh no. You might be right.
I think this is what they ordered.
No, I don't. That can't be right.
Jason looks like a towering monolith in all the scenes where they're in Power Ranger gear.
Here's the thing, though. I'm looking at Trini in here, and she's... I don't think those hips are on the Japanese footage.
No, I think that Trini is...
Oh, you're right.
I think you're right. I think this is their original stuff.
Plus, this looks like a pretty American farm.
I agree with you. That's why... Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry, we ruined it.
Yeah, I really hoped that this is what they ordered.
That would have been amazing.
So they show Rita throwing the staff down to grow Goldar, who cares? And then they go back to the farm, and it's literally, this might be, we talked about how awesome and hilarious it is when the Power Rangers, while morphed, just do like normal people things.
Right.
And this is just the Power Rangers running around a farm looking at animals. And it's the best thing that's ever happened.
Fantastic.
And they're like walking around, like going, Norman, just like checking out all the animals. It's just fucking, it's surreal is what
it
is.
It's really weird. There's literally a shot of them, like, so there's a shot of Jason looking at a pig and shaking his head like, nope, not this one. Which is hilarious. There's a shot there, and then like Zach is like, I found him, you guys, come here, you'll never believe this. And they go and crouch behind a bunch of haystacks, and there's a bunch of fucking cows behind them.
It makes me so happy just seeing cows on this show. It's dumb, but it's like,
it's really good.
Okay, so for the next part when they find Norman. So for the next part when they find Norman, I was really tired when I was writing my notes down. And here I just have written down, Norman is a slave to his boner motives.
yep.
Well, that's not wrong.
Not wrong.
Yep. Because, like, so, they see him, and they're like, what is he doing? Like,
Norman, here's the thing about them looking for Norman. Norman is the size of a man in a Madballs outfit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's the size of a baseball mascot.
Yeah.
So, like, and you don't really need to look around for that. It's gonna be really obvious when he shows up.
Well, it doesn't take them very long, to be fair.
No, yeah, they find him almost immediately.
And so they're like, what is he doing? And then Billy goes,
he appears to be dancing.
And they cut over, and yup.
He's just doing a dance.
Trotting around in the mud.
And he's singing, and he's like, love is in the air. And I was like, oh my god, what is this? P- pig monster are going to try to fuck a normal pig?
And now they say, Pudgy Pig and Pig, now I've seen everything.
Trini is like, oh, that's so sweet. No, that's not like, is not that sweet. That pig just wants to fuck that other pig.
He comes up to another pig and just like starts flirting. Like, he's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, we'll make such beautiful bacon together. That's
which
a dark
horrifying
statement
to say.
He says, come with me to the pigsty, which is pretty good. Well,
so, I mean, yeah, it's weird that this baseball mascot wants to fuck a pig, but like, in his mind, he's still a pig. He is not grappled yet with the existential implications of his transformation. He just wants to go back to slopping around and fucking other pigs.
There's a shot of them reacting to this, and it's great because most of the suit acting is like, their heads move bobbling around and stuff.
Right.
But there's a shot of Trini saying he's in love, and she like crosses her hands over her heart.
Yeah.
And then Kimberly's like, this is so gross.
Yeah.
It's really like, listen, I'm Kimberly and Zach are like up there for my favorite. Kimberly's being real fucking judgy in this episode.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but I kind of love it.
I mean, it definitely humanizes her more.
Yeah, that's true. But she's definitely like, you want a pig for a pet? Ew. Well,
hey, you know what? We all just talked about how gross this was, so maybe shut up.
That's true.
Yeah, this particular instance
talked about
is fucking
pigs
weird.
Fucking being gross.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're watching. And Trini's like, oh, it's adorable. And Kimmy's like, no, this is gross.
Yeah, that's true. It is not great. It's not adorable. But, it's just, oh man, it's fantastic.
Okay, then Jason, I think it was Jason, has the mercenary reaction to this of, oh, good, love will keep him busy until we can turn him back.
Yeah.
Matt, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, this is also where a weird moral quandary comes up, because Trini mentions that monsters can't love.
Yeah, she says it can't be a monster, it's really Norman, because one of Rita's real monsters could never fall in love.
So I'm trying to think of something to refute that.
Well, Goldar and
I don't think that's one of one of Rita's monsters. I don't think Goldar came out of the Monstermatic someday 10,000 years ago.
I guess they're aliens, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Tickle Sneezer, not one of Rita's monsters originally.
That's true.
Well, here's the thing. Indebatably, in this episode, there's a counter-argument built in, because what is Norman's real form? Is Norman a pig that got transformed into a monster, or was he a monster disguised as a pig?
No, the Rangers don't actually know. He's a pig that turned into a monster. This whole thing was just a diversion, so Goldar
hold on, because he says, I want to be a normal pig again, but that doesn't mean that he's always been a normal pig. It just means that he liked it and wants to go back to being a normal pig.
Yeah, but like, what evidence would there be that he started off as Pudgy Pig?
So which came first, the monster or the pig?
The classic philosophical quandary.
Trini is wrong, because what's his name? The fish monster loved those Goonie Bird eggs more than I've ever loved anything.
That's true.
Yeah, he did. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, even if she's right, she's pulling that right out of her ass. Yeah. Like, they have no evidence of that at all. And it's just such a weird. And then, yeah, like, they're just like, okay, well, that's fine. Bye. And they just leave.
Right. Did we establish, I think we did, that they're all hiding behind a stack of hay bales, and we're just seeing, like, their heads popping up over it?
Yeah.
And they're also like, it'll keep them busy, but, like, the Pudgy Pig was never a threat at any point in this episode.
Well, you know what? I'll defend that. Rita totally failed to take into account that the Power Rangers might have empathy, because she doesn't. It's like a Lex Luthor style fatal flaw in her plan that she failed to account for human decency.
Oh, so she thought they would just kill it, regardless. Yeah, that's fair. And that doesn't happen though. So they teleport to go.
That was an organic Superman reference.
Yeah, that was nice. Good job. So they cut to Goldar smashing shit up, and they teleport there. And they fight. I'm pretty sure this is also a reused fight scene. I'm not 100% sure.
I think I've seen it.
If it's not reused, it could very well be from like an old episode that they just didn't like grab this specific footage out of.
Yeah, this is not a great fight. And again, I'm pretty sure we've seen it before. Scorpion is there. Goldar's there. Goldar's big, so they're fighting Scorpina.
Well, Scorpina shows up And Kimberly says, ooh, wait till I get my hands on her. And
yeah,
Kimberly that, phrasing.
That yeah, phrasing, and also that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and like, why do you
they
care?
Have beef?
Yeah. I don't know if they do, but they don't normally, like, yeah.
Kimberly's tapping into her ancestral memories of being Rita across an infinite number of timelines, and she's thinking about how jealous she is of Goldar.
Luke, oh, sure. I need a tiny effigy of you so I can wipe my ring finger over its mouth and say, shh, repeatedly. Shit.
I was going to say, if this was a little more modern, I'd say they probably snipe at each other on Twitter all the time.
Wait, is it, wait, shit, oh fingers. God. Is the ring finger or the index finger the one that's near to the thumb?
Index.
That's your index.
Ring finger's the one people wear rings on, Matt.
Yeah, it's this, it's the one.
I don't have rings, Luke, so it's I would fucking
but
know.
You've seen people
but
that
thanks
do,
for being
sure.
an insensitive dick.
The ring finger is, the one that's next to the pinky.
The ring okay. finger's the one that Zach doesn't have.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna use my fucking ring finger on that effigy now just to fucking spite you. I'm also gonna use the middle, cause fuck
I think
you.
That means he wants to marry you, Luke.
I think it does,
no.
yeah. But we
well,
need to
circle
back around because I'm in love with the idea of Scorpina having a Twitter account.
Yes. You know, it's literally, it's just like her typing out her laugh a bunch, basically.
Oh my god, Rita's Twitter account, like, for the first 50 tweets, she's not gonna realize that caps lock is a thing or how to
oh
turn
no,
it
she
off.
Knows.
Just,
she knows.
Hashtag, if you a man who can do both, the first picture is Goldar without wings, the second picture is Goldar with wings.
I have to go make a Scorpina Twitter account.
fucking Rita angrily tweeting at Goldar asking Goldar how she can send nasty DMs to Kimberly.
Yeah. Oh my God. And you know, Goldar is not like a computer genius, but he's competent. So he's just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not know this? Goldar probably doesn't tweet much.
Yeah. No.
I don't think so.
No.
All no, right. Finster would be the one who doesn't tweet at all.
Yeah.
He would have the
yeah,
account
Finster's
and follow like six people, but he'd never actually use it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so they make the Squats Megazord. And,
So, this Megazord summoning sequence annoys me because I'll do like the, you know, really formal, I call upon the power of my Zord thing, which is dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a...
Except for Kimberly, who clearly has no time for that nonsense and just says, yeah,
pterodactyl
Zord.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
But they're, you know, they're padding it.
This well, is, the yeah. thing is, but it's not padding. I actually have it written, they all call one by one, but it's not really padding because they actually cut the transformation sequences, like, super duper short.
That's true. It's probably about the same.
It is about the same. It's just weird because it's not padding, but it feels like it. Also, there's a really weird shot I haven't seen before where when they formed the Megazord, there's a shot of it like jolting into place and they all react like the Megazord was like taking a hit. It's really strange. This entire transformation sequence should be really mundane, but it's really, really weird. I don't know quite what went down.
So we're actually about to get in the next couple episodes. It might be next episode. We're about to get a new Megazord transformation sequence.
Oh.
And I wonder if they were like, let's start switching it up. And then, you know,
that's totally a possibility.
It's definitely different in two episodes. I can't remember if it's, next one, it's different, but so they fight. Yay.
Yeah, I have written down here punchy fights with Goldar, but it's a really standard fight. Goldar's winning, because they need to get the Mega Sword. But one thing I do have noted is that Rita calls the Power Rangers weenies.
She does.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part of this fight, probably. Yeah, they fight for a while, They we've seen this fight before because Goldar gets him in an arm lock and then the Megazord steps on his foot. That definitely has already happened. And then he makes the sword and he tries to chop Goldar in half and Goldar pieces out.
I think you're just referring to the Megazord as an entity of its own now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I have fully charged Megazord equals a pieced out Goldar.
Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
sense.
Then there's a bit on the moon that's pretty great where like Rita is talking to Squad and Babu, and then, like, she turns to the door, and she's like, oh, there you are, Goldar, and Goldar walks in, and then she's like, if you had any brains, even this much, and then she puts her fingers really close together, like, yeah, almost none, she's like, and he's like, he cuts her off, he's like, I'm sorry, I know, I fucked up.
next time.
Yeah, it's a cool little exchange. And then I guess they just went back to the farm and they're going to try to fix Norman, who is still dancing around with this pig. Also, Billy has a line where he says, like, I think I should be able to reverse him without doing any harm to Norman. It's like, I fucking hope so. Jesus.
No, science is never 100%.
Yeah.
He tries it and Norman just turns into a mewling mass of pulsating organs. Yeah. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, don't do it if you're not sure. Jesus. But no, it works. And then there's just two piggies and they kind of like, Eskimo kisses.
Yeah, they basically just leave him there.
Yeah, and Kimberly is like, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but they're actually pretty cute. So you get a little bit of Kimberly backing off being a jerk.
Yeah, well, no, a nice little arc in this.
Yeah,
let's be entirely fair though. Like the whole Pudgy Pig trying to like fucking get its dick wet was really weird.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
again, he's an animal. He didn't understand.
And also,
it's still weird though.
To be clear, in case you weren't sure, they're framing it as that the pig is in love. It's not.
I mean,
they're not
it's,
like
it's
this
in
pig
heat.
Wants
Let's
to
be
fuck
honest
this
here.
Pig.
No, I never meant to imply that. I never even thought about that, which is saying something because you're talking to yours truly. But like,
what do you mean you never even thought about that? You keep talking about how he wants to fuck that pig.
Like, all right, fucking what?
Let's move on. So they're back at school, and they're like, oh, those pigs are gonna live happily ever after because they don't understand. What pigs
What's
do?
What's about to happen
I guess.
To
yeah.
them?
Trini says, "Yeah, the owner of that farm adopted Norman, so they get to live together." Which
why
is...
doesn't Bulk and Skull get to keep Norman?
Yeah, why don't they have a say?
Well, so we're about to find out.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, yeah, but still,
I love you.
You can now follow the real Scorpina on Twitter.
At the real Scorpina, you know, just, well, okay, great, good. So anyway, yeah, there's a shot of, God, you've completely fucking thrown me off what I was talking about.
They're back at the school.
Yes, thank you. So, they say, yeah, okay, they're gonna live happily ever after. Mr. Kaplan comes in, and they bother to have him say that Miss Appleby is out, so he's going to be substituting.
Which is weird.
It's not necessary. Like, they always just have one or the other, and they don't bother to... but Bulk rolls his eyes when he says that, which is pretty... I like that part.
Yeah, I like how they built up an antagonism between Bulk and Mr. Kaplan.
Oh, Skull actually does the fake noose joke.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He pulls around his neck like a fake noose. So he says he has a lecture prepared and that they have a stunning live specimen. So he leaves the classroom and comes back in with a pig.
A different pig.
I would like to know what the class is for this.
Where they just have a farm animal show up? Yeah. I don't know.
And at this point, I think we figured out why, we don't have, they did not readopt Norman because, Bulk and Skull are now like,
they're traumatized.
Straight up PTSD traumatized of pigs.
Which is the saddest thing.
Yeah, it's very sad.
They love their son and he betrayed them.
They scream and run and jump up on a desk, and everyone laughs at their trauma. Like,
yeah.
They're gonna need therapy for fucking years over this one. Forever. For just a brief moment, they thought they would finally found something that genuinely made them happy, and it was taken from them in the most horrifying way possible.
What's gonna happen when someone tells Bulk, because I mean, he's really stupid, so he doesn't know this, that ham is made of pigs?
He'll yeah. just say, well, that's okay, at least I've still got bacon.
Oh no, he probably burned his business pig drawers.
Aww. That's sad.
This is upsetting.
Really? Like,
the entire last part for that whole scene in my notes is just a bunch of frowny faces.
Yeah,
it's played for laughs, but it is the saddest moment on this show.
I mean, it's definitely, I don't think it's supposed to be sad, but yeah, it's a bummer.
It's not supposed to be sad, but only because we're not supposed to feel any empathy for Bulk and Skull.
Right, they're yeah, supposed to be
much like
bad.
Rita Repulsa, the show writers failed to account for human empathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the episode. I mean, if you couldn't tell, I'm pretty sure we all really liked this one.
That episode was great.
Yeah. It's adorable.
It's not if an episode like... I'd show people. I was trying to convince them that this show was, like, worthwhile anything on its own. Like, it's a mess of an episode, but...
I don't know. I think if I was trying to explain, like, why I like this show, I would show them this episode. Because it's right. like, no, it's, I don't just watch fun... it, like...
It's a fun episode,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah. It's not like,
It's goofy.
Yeah.
Kind of goofy.
Molly sent me her notes, and I like that you said that Mr. Kaplan still has his dope purple suit. That is a pretty good suit.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
It's better than that oversized blue one he had for a while.
Yeah, and then the farmer adopted the pig out from under Bulk and Skull, frowny face. Bulk and Skull had PTSD, and everyone is laughing at them, frowny face. Yep, pretty accurate.
Yeah.
The end of that episode's upsetting.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
42
a bummer.
Episodes in, how many of them end with a freeze frame of everyone laughing at Bulk and Skull?
God, oh, we should count because it's high.
Yeah, it's got to be a majority of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of them.
Would it be a majority? I'd wager probably like 30 to 40% would be my guess.
It's a mix between that and jumping high fives.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. We had an episode with two of them in it recently.
So on the Facebook page, we have people team high fives or team Bulk and Skull laughing.
Yeah.
Place your bets.
Yeah, I could go do that. But yeah, so that's it. I mean, it's super fun. It's really goofy. It's a little sad at the end, but,
it's very sad at the end.
But it's nice that, you know, we got a little bit more Bulk and Skull being just straight up being a couple.
Yeah.
There's literally no other explanation.
It's not subtext at this point. It's just text.
No. Yeah.
Right. So let's move into some, listener questions. If you have questions or comments, you can send them to us on the Facebook group, Teenagers with Attitude. You can send them to us through Gmail at teenswithtude@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or you can send it to us through Twitter at teenswithtude. I have a couple this week. One I've got from James through email. And he says, surprise, you wake up and to your great astonishment, you are Dean Israelite, director of the upcoming Power Rangers movie.
Okay.
He does not,
max out all his credit cards.
He doesn't ask how you would deal with the body horror, but we'll move on from there.
I'm not even paying attention to the movie. I'm a fancy big shot Hollywood director. I'm just going on a spending spree.
You receive a call on your mobile from your trusted assistant.
Throw Alpha, into the ocean.
Alpha 5. So apparently Alpha 5 is also real in this.
Real strong, my friend.
Well, yeah, they got him back from the original. Like, you thought that was like a, I mean, he's an actor, but.
I, Dean, himself. He exclaims, you have three decisions to make about what to include or cut from the movie, and we're running out of time. What three decisions do you make? So you can make a combined three cuts or inclusions.
Okay.
in the movie.
Mm.
I will go first because I had time to think about it.
All right.
So, I mean, this is no-brainers, but I don't know. I haven't seen any evidence that they're in there, so include Bulk and Skull.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this must be. Include Goldar with, like, Smoky he has to jacket. Look like Goldar. He can look a little different, but he has to be a weird ape wolf man with gold armor.
Yeah.
And...
Wait, gold armor? Shit! Wait.
Is this a for real, or are you fucking with me?
No! I'm not. His name is just Gold Armor with the mer part gone. Damn! Yeah.
God.
Okay. Well, there you go. Listen, everybody has those. It's fine. And I would probably... I might cut... Alpha.
Mm. Yeah. Considering who's fair. Giving you the like info yeah, which here, would that's be harsh. Rough
for Alpha to hear. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I just feel like if you're redoing it and like it looks like they're going a little more serious. Yeah. I hope again, hope it's not super goofy, but like I think Zordon as the mentor and then like Billy as the tech guy. I don't know that you need him.
Right.
And also, I don't know what Alpha's personality is if it's not pratfalls and really bad
and goofs.
Jokes.
Well, I mean, yeah. We do know what his personality is. It's a really annoying Brooklyn accent and trying to be hip and cool.
Oh, God, Alpha 6. But, yeah, I don't really feel like we need to keep Alpha. So I guess those are mine. Anybody else have different ones?
No, I would add.
I mean, you said adding in Bulk and Skull. I would also add some sort of cameo for Paul Schreier and Jason Narvi. Like, I want to see those two actors in there somewhere.
Actually, sure. No. I change cutting Alpha to adding Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
That's like you get three includes, and that's one.
Oh man.
Because if you're gonna have Bulk and Skull, you need Mr. Kaplan to play.
Okay,
off of him,
I guess that's true. Like you need an authority.
I mean,
figure.
Not necessarily. Like if Ernie's in there, that'll probably work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Would you, Matt, if you could only have Mr. Ernie. Kaplan or Ernie as an antagonist or as a foil for Bulk and Skull, which one would you pick?
Oh, fuck.
This is the hard choices here.
I'm gonna crowdsource this problem out to the people. I think because I'm not answering that.
For me, I'd rather have Ernie. Like Ernie.
Yeah, Ernie gives you more to work with.
Yeah, if you have Ernie, you have the juice and gym.
Listen, didn't we get enough fat jokes from Zordon, Joel?
God.
So. Did anybody else have one?
I think you gotta work in an include for the rad bug.
Ooh. Oh, maybe.
That'd be a good cameo.
Yeah, like, even just like a background gag. It's the kind of thing you don't need to call attention to, but people who know will know.
Just a white old ass beetle for no reason? Like, yeah, okay.
No, I think it needs to be front and center, and like, the plot is centered around it.
The entire movie is built around the ragged bug.
Yeah, like, Billy's built this incredible car in his garage that can fly, and it's super fast, and he's got to race Rita through a series of increasingly cartoon... Oh, I'm just describing a speed racer.
I was going to say, how would you,
That's wacky races.
Speed racer style, how would you modernize the rad bug for a live-action movie?
Oh gosh. So much about what I love of it is how stupid it looks.
Yeah, but, like
it would just be like a
would it be a new model bug?
Yeah, I think it'd be like a new model bug with just a bunch of like pipes and gears and shit stuck to it, like in a way that looks like cool and not just like someone taped a hot water heater to a Volkswagen.
So it would be a steampunk bug basically.
Kinda.
Okay, God. Sure.
No, like a bug, but like with those, I don't know, this is probably a real thing, but I remember like a lot of Hot Wheels, the engine on the car is exposed and there's just like pipes sure. going into it over the hood, like that.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. That'd be cool. I'd be down for that, for sure. Yeah, For me, the most important two are Balkan Skull and Goldar. I hope they keep those. We'll see, I guess. But
yeah, I don't think Rita can work alone. She needs somebody up there.
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
she's
Finster.
Gotta have...
I love Finster. I want to see him in there.
Do you want sassy Finster from Zyuranger, where he's like back talking to her all
absolutely.
The time? Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, you're right, Molly. She needs a crew.
Yeah, she has to have helpers. She can't do that on her own.
It'd be boring if she... Because she has to have somebody to yell at. Like, that's... You're right. I agree.
To yell at, to blame for all her mistakes.
Yes, because clearly nothing is her fault.
No,
which
never.
My favorite thing, I've been rewatching, like watching ahead, and one of my favorite things is that, like, when Zed shows up, he tosses her out for being a failure, and then, like, within four episodes, he won't take the blame. Like, it's everybody else's fault. Just like how Rita did the exact same thing.
I like the idea that Rita may have been competent once, but her choice in henchmen has drug her down to incompetence.
I am just thinking in terms of, because a lot of times with movies based on sort of serialized things, they pick a villain to focus on, right?
Yeah.
And it would just be like, here's Rita, and maybe she's got like a monster henchman or whatever. I want it, include a whole bunch of Monster-matic monsters and have like a montage.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Of like oh, have them at the beating all almost of them. Like in Hercules when Hades keeps throwing shit at Hercules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like have one cool big fight near the start and then have like a montage of the Power Rangers becoming heroes, beating up all these crazy monsters.
Yeah, I'm into that, actually. That sounds good.
Okay, something important. Please, if you're listening, Dean Israelite, please don't kill Rita at the end of the
movie. I don't think he can, because like if this movie does well enough for a sequel, the obvious move would be to bring in Lord Zed. And you have to have Rita around for that story.
Yeah, and or even the Green Ranger, like, she has to be around. So if you...
Yeah.
Because they might not do that first movie.
Not necessarily,
though.
Unless
you, like, immediately jump to the Cog Empire, and I feel like the, Lord Zed is way more iconic than those guys. Yeah.
Well, we're dealing with full-on reboot territory, though. There's no reason they couldn't kill Rita and just reestablish
them. But I don't want them to.
Oh, no, I don't want them to.
What's fun about Lord Zed is that he's a hideous monster man who also loves his wife.
Yes, that's true. I definitely hope that they keep that stuff, or that they don't get rid of her immediately. I know that's like the superhero movie thing is just one movie for the villain and then goodbye.
My include for the Power Rangers sequel is their Jewish wedding.
Yes.
Oh God, where they straight up play Hava Nagila. Yeah, that'd be pretty.
God, I still can't. I just can't.
So, moving on, James on the Facebook group has a question. He says, what if Zordon was replaced with Zardoz? how would that change the show?
I have not seen Zardoz. I've only seen the one image that everyone's seen.
Yeah. I have seen the first 30 minutes of Zardoz, and that movie is everything you probably imagined.
Here's what I know about Zardoz. It's a big stone head that yells, "The gun is good, the penis is evil," and then vomits guns out of its mouth.
Yes.
So it would be absolutely the same then.
Yeah, so in terms of, like, useful knowledge, it's
wait
about
a second,
the same
there's someone
as Zordon.
Named Zed in this movie.
Yeah, Sean Connery's name is Zed in
Zed,
in
a
Zardoz.
Brutal exterminator, hides aboard Zardoz during one trip.
If you're about to
killing,
read
it's
the
eternal
Wikipedia,
creator.
If you're about to read the Wikipedia plot summary for Zardoz, do not fucking bother.
They're coming in with psychic powers. They make him a prisoner and mental worker within their community. Consuelo wants Zed destroyed immediately. Others led by May, a subversive
so
eternal
we're just gonna,
friend,
oh
insist
my God,
on
stop.
Keeping him alive for further time.
Zach's gonna kill
Skype,
you.
I can't mute individual people on Skype. Stop.
It's almost like Skype sucks ass or something like that.
Anyway,
who knows?
So... Yeah, like, in terms of useful advice, it'd be about the same.
Yeah. There wouldn't be much difference.
I guess they'd
get
have
way
more
guns, though.
They'd have
wait
way
a
more
second.
Guns, yeah.
Listen, I'm not gonna read this whole thing, but Zardoz is derived from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, cause it's like it's a post-apocalyptic future. Yeah.
I mean, that's the exact same thing as gold armor.
Yeah.
with yep. Zardoz.
Good so, grief.
So yeah, I don't have much to say about that. It's just very funny. That's all.
Yeah, I'm into that.
You see, what I like to think is that the show will proceed exactly as normal, but all of, fucking, not Goldar. I can only think of Goldar now. What's the name of the stupid floating head in this fucking kid show?
Zordon.
Zordon.
All of Zordon's lines are just replaced with the gun is good, the penis is evil, and bombs projectile vomiting.
Which, again,
guns on
wouldn't
the floor.
Really change much about the command center scenes.
No, all he does yeah. is mutter gobbledygook and then vomit out new weapons for them, so.
Good luck, Power Rangers.
Oh, man. Now I'm just imagining the fucking Green Ranger arc with this change in place and just like.
We lost Zardoz. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
In that case, would the Green Ranger be Zed?
I have no idea.
So moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Eric asks, okay, so Goldar has a Zord. What are the chances that Rita, Goldar, Squat, Babu, and Fenster were a team of Rangers that were abandoned by Zordon for unknown reasons? I kind of like this because, so in the movie, we've kind of got this idea that she's tied to the Green Ranger somehow and possibly to, Zordon in that way. And in the show, Rita and Zordon aren't really tied other than that they hate each other. Like, they fought. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and as far as we know, like, her minions don't have any relation to, Zordon other than just they work for Rita and that's it.
Right.
So, I mean, that'd be funny. And also, Zordon's a dick, so, like, it's possible that he just cast them aside for whatever reason.
I don't know. That's not doing it for me. It just doesn't, I could not see it being that.
I think it's one of those, like, Star Wars prequel things of having too many connections between the same characters makes the universe feel too small.
Sure, but Rita and Zordon already have a connection.
Right, but if you make it, if you make it,
10,000 years war.
Right, but if you make it such a personal connection, then it's like, yeah, I like the idea better that there's this entire universe full of, like, witches and weird monster things that all hate Zordon. Rather than it being such an intimate, personal thing.
See, I like the idea of it being an intimate, personal thing for the first, like, enemy, and then it grows from there.
Yeah. I'm okay with either way. I think that would be a little too on the nose if literally her whole crew used to be Rangers, but
I think
like
that it'd be really hard. I don't think, as much as we love to joke about how Zordon is secretly the worst, I have a feeling in the movie he's gonna be what he's supposed to be, which is like a wise and kind
probably.
Leader.
So I do like the spin of it though that Rita was a former Ranger and she stole or just, you know, took with her the rest of the Zords and gave them to her crew.
I genuinely think that there's a fairly decent chance that that is how the movie goes down, that she used to be a Ranger and has the Dragon Zord.
Well, I mean, Rita in the show used to be a Ranger too, but in like an alternate universe.
Oh, right. Because Kimberly,
Okay, so one last one for this week. Miguel asks, he says, hey everyone, started listening to the podcast and playing Battlefleet Gothic at roughly the same time. Made me wonder if more carefree versions of any 40K empires would fit. There's two reasons I did this. One, because it's like the fourth crossover with 40K question that we've gotten, and I think that's really funny because Luke hates Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
But B, the idea of like taking a 40K evil empire and then making it like real goofy and having it be the bad guys, like that has some appeal.
To be honest, like 40K would appeal to me a lot more if you goofified it like a lot.
So the orcs are already goofy. That was the first one that came to mind. Cause the orcs in 40K, if the listener is not familiar, are like weird, crazy, They're kind of like if you took Fantasy Orcs and crossed them with the Mad Max Warboys.
Somebody told me they grow like potatoes?
Yeah, they're fungus, so they grow. So, like, there's always
more of them.
Yeah,
as opposed to, you know, animals, which don't grow.
Well, okay, so they, I mean, they, like, sprout new ones.
And yeah.
But that would, you know, that would give you an answer for why there's always more of them. You wouldn't have to do, like, a putty.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, they'd make sense as, like, a mook.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you could make them into, like, the overall villains. The idea of making, I don't know a ton about 40K, but the idea of making, the Necrons, who are like zombie robots, they're robots that like convert, material into new robots. So like, but they can use anything. So they'll like take over, they'll land on a moon and just turn the rocks into more robots. That's another good mook thing. Like, just, they send some down and they turn the trees in the area or whatever into robots. Like, that's another cool way for them to have mooks.
Like the Robotnik Gambit.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't really think of, I don't know enough about the, like, players in the like, big guys in the 40K universe to become, to have cast somebody as an overall villain, really. I know that the Emperor of Mankind is like a good guy, but kind of corrupted. I really don't know enough about 40K, but I do like the orcs as a just disposable villain for them to fight. That'd be funny. I'm the only one who knows anything about 40K.
Yeah, I've never done a 40K.
Fair enough.
Never even done a 5K.
That too.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a bummer.
Sorry.
Wait, the question or the joke?
No. The whole, like, we didn't have any good answers, so I'm sorry. There you go.
I play Magic, not 40K.
That's fine. Okay. Well, what 40K, or I'm sorry, what Magic?
Yeah, I still don't know.
What Magic the Gathering villain would be a good Power Rangers villain?
All of them are, like, too scary and competent to, like actually be a Power Rangers villain.
Way too serious.
Yeah.
I don't know. Magic the Gathering goblins would be pretty fun to throw at the Rangers.
Sure, but, like, if we're talking about big players as a big villain in, like, Magic... Because, like, the big villains in Magic are, like, we sunder entire worlds because we have, you know, an infinite amount of those to play with.
Yeah, and they're all super intelligent, which is never great for a Power Rangers villain.
Yeah, like,
I can only imagine an episode where they fight Slivers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that could be a thing. Slivers are rude. Like, Nicol Bolas is, like, the big Magic villain. He's a big dragon man, who is, like, almost infinitely powerful.
Okay.
Yeah, that's rough.
And is, like, a real schemer.
I mean, I'm probably sure they could just punch him to death, probably.
Probably.
Seems like that would work.
one of the good guy characters, his thing is he can pull out, like, the best in somebody.
Yeah.
And he went to fight Nicol Bolas, and by doing that, he, like, created a clone of Nicol Bolas to fight him.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool, but, like, that was forever ago, and I don't even know if that's that character's power anymore. They've been doing a lot of, like, reworking of the old lore to fit their new lore.
Fair enough.
They're trying to put a real emphasis on, but, like...
No, what you do, we gotta start working backwards and figure out how Power Rangers would work into Magic cards, and I'm imagining special Magic cards where you can start the game with 5 monsters already summoned. That all are different colors, and they're like real strong, but maybe you gotta work fast or you lose momentum.
Well, okay, so the way I think that there's a card called Coalition Victory, which, God, if I remember right, it says if you control a card of each color, like at the beginning of the turn, you win the game.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so, somewhere.
Yeah, something like that. I think that's right.
I think there was slightly more to it than that. I think you had to have one of each basic land too, or something.
Hang
that's
on,
forming. That's forming your Megazord, though. Right. You gotta get all your guys together.
you win the game. Oh, it's a sorcery. You win the game if you control a land of each basic land type and a creature of each color.
There you go. Wow.
So there's a little more to it.
That sounds like a fun deck to try to
power up your team.
Yeah, some of my favorite the decks, they're nearly impossible to win with, but the ones where they have alternate win conditions.
Yeah.
It's like one where if you start your turn with exactly one life or something to that effect, you win the game, which is really tough to pull off.
If you have one life and you don't have any other permanent cards on the battlefield,
right?
Like, stuff that sticks on the battlefield.
Yeah, you're just completely vulnerable.
If you smash everything but one life, you win the game.
A lot of those sound like Rita plans. Like these ridiculously specific conditions.
And like the other person is just like, I'm playing
just kill
aggro.
Them.
All right. That's actually what I'm doing, like, in an hour is going to a tournament, so.
All right, well, let's wrap this up then. That's it for this episode. If you have questions or comments, you can contact us any of those ways. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Does anybody want to go first? I could go first.
Yeah,
I have.
Well, you're the guest, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You can find me on Twitter at IZZETMallory. I host a podcast with my friend Ashley, and it is like just this show, except we do Totally Spies, and boy, that show's pretty fucked up.
Which, again, that show is weirder than this one, so...
Yeah, we have... So it's just me and her, and we have one guest every week. If I have timed this correctly, we just had Mike and Luke on. If I'm right, this episode
well,
will drop the week after yours does.
Yeah.
This one goes up next Friday?
Friday after
next.
No, Friday after next Friday.
No, this is 2 weeks from now. Yeah. So next Friday from when we're talking right now, which is 1 week before. Yeah.
So Friday in the future, for us, the Friday in the past for you.
You will be able to go find a episode of Totally Reprise.
It'll be the second most recent episode.
The second most recent episode where Luke and Mike, we got them both on because it's an episode about shrinking the spies. And of course we had them on.
If that's your favorite part of this podcast is then you should go listen to that podcast.
Just if you're gonna listen to one, that's probably a good one to listen to. Luke links us a bunch of porn throughout the episode.
Oh yeah. I want to be clear, that wasn't like my porn. My porn wouldn't have been stupid enough.
I believe you. But yeah, you like picked a random Tumblr and just kept sending stuff.
Yeah.
He tried to play an audiobook on air at the end.
Yeah, that sounds like Luke.
Yeah. I think Ashley might save me on that one and edit it in.
I don't know if Ashley's going to do that or not. I hope she does, because it sounded like it was a thing. A whole thing.
Oh, yeah. That audiobook had like 6 parts to it.
Oh man, Jesus.
That's great. Yeah, so that's my podcast, Totally Reprise. You can find that. If you pay attention to the Teens with Two Twitter, we usually are pretty good about retweeting each other.
Yeah.
So,
You're on iTunes, right?
Yeah, we are on iTunes, cool. Actually. We're on iTunes. Shout Engine is where we are on the internet. You can get us, like, probably on all of the podcast
things. Sounds good. Luke?
Yeah, speaking of podcasts with Ashley.
Uh-huh.
I do one with her called Let Me Tell You About Homestuck, which is sort of like this, but with a webcomic that makes it weirder to do.
This is the only time you get to talk about Homestuck on this podcast.
Oh, well, then in that case, let's start over here. John Egbert, 13-year-old boy Skylark.
Far too much detail.
Oh, God.
So what's that one called? I'm sorry.
It's called Let Me Tell You About Homestuck.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. Joel?
As always, check out the Digital Moncast. We're on Shout Engine. I think we have a Twitter.
You have Twitter.
I don't use Twitter, so I'm really bad at the social media side of plugging things.
It's fine. So there we go. And
at Digital Moncast.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's right. And that's going to do it for us this week.
Oh, real quick, one last plug. If you just like... want to give me some money?
Yeah, you could do that. You could find... what's your Twitter, Luke?
Oh, it's SSJ Speed Racer.
Yeah, there you go. So if you want to donate some money to Luke right now, I think that'd be cool. If you could, you could also give us money, but like,
we... no, just give it to me.
Okay.
It'll find its way to Luke.
And, anyway, so that's it for us this week. Yeah. Okay. All right. Come back next week. I got so fucking confused about where I was in the flow of this podcast. I apologize.
I like your implication that this podcast has flow.
It kind of does. Normally, I'm just screwing it up in these last 5 minutes here. But yeah, you can find us any of the places I mentioned before. If you have a question, you can listen to any of the other cool podcasts that people are on here are on. And you can come back next week and talk about a weird fish monster. So until then, for Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Joel.
I've been Matt.
I've been Luke.
I've been Molly.
And may the power protect you always.
He's adorable. What's his name?
Bulk. Not me, the pig.
Oh, Norm. Cool, isn't he?
Yeah.
This is gonna work out better than I thought.
Much better.